Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster today. And joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
And the one and only Chris Hamilton.
Hello, John.
In the
good
house.
Morning. Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to give some shout-outs this morning. I love being on VFN Radio. I'm back on. Had some things to take care of here with technology, but we're ready to go. And I want to give some shout-outs out there to Texas and Pastor Barbara. Want to let you know that we are holding it down here in Jersey City for you. It has not gone away. And I know your prayers have been going up for everyone in New Jersey and in the New York area. And so God bless you. Thank you for all your prayers, Kate Chara. Oh, my goodness. I'm so encouraged by everything that I'm hearing from what's going out in Klein, Texas. Crystal. Oh, my goodness, Pat. Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal's got the Bronx on lockdown. She's taking care of Crystal.
Bronx.
We want to give a shout-out to everyone headed back to Toys R Us. Corporate Toys R Us here lost power, and it seems like they're getting back in action. So, Sophia, Maria, my goodness, glad to hear that everything is getting back on track. Also want to give a shout-out to all those at Fredson and Stratmore.
Say that again.
That's Fredson and Stratmore. That's that's Debbie's crew out there, and
right.
With Edie, and oh my goodness, so exciting. Abe, talk to us and let us know how you're doing down there in Middlesex. But I've been hearing that things are going pretty good, and I've been hearing some of your reports. So God bless you. So glad that you're tuning in. Also wanted to give some shout-outs to our VFN Radio listeners, Steven, Teresa, Jawan, Darnell, Jackie, Christina, Jennifer. My goodness, there's so many that are coming on to VFN Radio, and we're just so encouraged. Also, we want to thank all of our VFN Radio Facebook friends right now. Right now, Pat, we are currently out. 4,639 friends or 37 friends on our Facebook page. We want to just thank you so much for supporting and being a part and joining the conversation. It's all of us together, and want to help us get the word out. We are quickly looking to get to 5,000 and continue to help us to do that as we continue to share encouraging words, educating and illuminating the word of God on all the so many areas that we talk about throughout our program. Well, we have such an awesome time together planned out, and we're so looking forward to gathering with all of our VFN Radio listeners like we do every day. But want to encourage and share with you out of Psalms. And, you know, the Psalms of David, boy, I tell you, he loved God so much,
goodness,
you know. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is a shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of my praise." Let me tell you something. You can call unto the Lord no matter what you've been leaning on in your life that's probably let you down. You can always lean on God. He's a rock. He's a fortress. Mm-hmm. He's a strong tower.
That's right.
He's a mighty deliverer. He's powerful to save. And he's got you. He's dependable. You can trust him. He loves you. His eyes are upon you this morning.
That's right.
So if you're headed off to work or you're at the office, no matter where you're at today, be encouraged. The Lord's eyes are upon you today.
Amen. Amen.
So, Pat, how you been?
Doing good. Doing good. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing
still
good.
Still breezy up there?
Not so breezy if you haven't noticed. We had a little minor hurricane here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, not minor at all, sad to say. But I do want to give some reportings and some updates because, you know, many have been asking and wondering how things are going on the ground up here.
Right.
And a lot of stuff that you're seeing on the news is pretty accurate. I mean, it's you know, right now in the state of New Jersey, we still have about 2 million people out of power.
Wow.
And in fact, you know, it's, and that's not just South Jersey. It's up here in northern part of Jersey. I've traveled, you know, the roads yesterday, and half, you know, the roads are out of power. The other side has power, depending what town you're in.
Right.
You know, they've canceled all the schools the rest of the week for the state in many in New Jersey and in New York as well, which is the largest public school system, by the way. 1 million students in New York City.
They
rarely shut school down because it just creates such a havoc. And now we have buses that are actually going back. So today's the first day that we're having partial services up and running. About 5 million people depend on the public transportation in New York City, and a bunch load do the same thing as far as in New York. But, you know, a whole lot of people do the same in New York.
Right.
Just yesterday, the president was in New Jersey.
Sorry.
And yeah, he toured with Governor Christie, and they saw some of the devastated areas. And there's a lot of concern. You know, there's a lot of concern. Good to see that he's very supportive and wants to throw all the support, you know, of the federal government behind, you know, what's happening there and trying to get New Jersey back.
Right.
But you know, we have so much to say about this, you know, and God has so much to say about what's happening in the events and what's happening right now, but. I do want to let you know, and those that are listening to us in the tri-state area, New York and Connecticut and New Jersey, that reports are being said right now that gas is scarce. Gas is scarce. I mean, you know, the people are finding some more people that have passed away through the storm. I mean, things are just starting to unfold. As you know, we've been through several hurricanes together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Aaron, Opal, Ivan.
Oh my gosh, and, I lost count.
Yeah, not to mention all the work that we did in with Katrina going to,
right.
to
Mississippi,
from Mississippi
New
to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to New Orleans. We've covered quite a bit,
and
so we know firsthand a little bit of what's happening.
That's right.
But right now, after the storm, is where you see a lot of things to start to materialize. I mean, right now. It's been 4 days or so, 3 or 4 days that people are without power, you know. And so if you don't have a generator, your food's going bad. What food that you did have is, if you didn't prepare, it's you know, not much. You know, right now, no one as I know, has seen any kind of National Guard service or any kind of help right now in the Northeast. So I want to encourage you that you can call FEMA. If you're out of power, if your neighbor's out of power and you need help, you can get in contact with FEMA. We do have a number for you to contact them. We're going to get that to you here. We're going to get that number here to you here in a second. In fact, here it is. It's 1-800-621-FEMA. 1-800-621-FEMA. And you can begin to start pre-filling out, to register. And there's all sorts of assistance that's going to be made available to you. So if you're out of power, all out of work, all different types of things, go ahead and just pre-register and fill it out. And what you can do is, if you're okay and you're taken care of, begin to start registering folks. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know or are not aware of the services that are available. This is the first time, Pat.
Right.
This is the first time they've kind of really experienced something like this
on
the Northeast. So they don't know about FEMA and the processes and all the funds and the help right now that's going to be available. I believe that the governor's going to be headed up to Bergen County, up in this kind of type of area in the Northeast, a part of the state, and he's going to be just surveying what, you know, what's been happening and what's been going on. The mayor is telling, allegedly telling folks right now, is that do not cross in the Manhattan, the George Washington Bridge.
The bridge, right.
Yeah, big connection, unless you have at least 3 people in your car.
And why is that?
I guess they're trying to limit
the amount of traffic.
I mean, right now, they're you know, some of the subways are up. I mean, you should see, you know, hopefully we're going to make this all available on the torch, but you have subways that are, you know, they're underwater. I mean, this is not good. There's all kinds of just, they're testing the waters, like E. coli and all types of stuff in the water.
Right.
I kind of want to stay out of all of that. In fact, I think that we have a little quick segment here from Fox News reporting just a little bit more of what's going on down there.
Down power lines, trees, and water still choking up roads across the storm zone, making traffic a real nightmare in the hardest hit areas. Here in New York City, traffic jams like you cannot imagine. Oh, my God. This is a live look on 6th Avenue in front of our studios. It may not look like it at the moment. Reportedly looks like this all over Manhattan, and especially downtown. You know, much of the city is in the dark. About 80 blocks of the city, and from side to side, millions of commuters enduring hours-long bus trips and bumper-to-bumper traffic, sometimes 4 hours to get across a bridge or tunnel. The city's still figuring out how to fix the subway and train systems. Many of the tunnels that carry the trains are still flooded. In fact, the one that goes for the PATH train over to New Jersey, 5 miles long, completely filled, they tell us. But here in the city, fortunately, Mayor Bloomberg says some relief's on the way.
Yeah, as you could see, I mean, that the PATH train, when I used to be in Jersey City, mm-hmm. did some work down there.
Right.
People would come, and how normally travels, no matter where you're in New Jersey and or upstate New York, you kind of take the train all the way down.
Uh-huh.
Most people can be by train.
Right.
A lot of people, can't say most, because they take buses as well. But if you're taking the train, you come all the way down to Hoboken.
Mm-hmm.
And Hoboken is just a PATH rail, a light rail. It's another little kind of a subway type of train. It's actually above ground.
Mm-hmm.
That connects you from Hoboken to Jersey City. From Jersey City,
right.
you take an underground
right.
subway that goes connects you to Manhattan, which is the lower financial district and Wall Street and all that area that's underwater. Well,
yeah.
right now, that whole tunnel is underwater.
Yeah, I was just fixing to say that, yeah.
Yeah, it's underwater, so that's a major flow that's not allowing people to get through.
Bus service will continue to increase. Limited subway service may actually return tomorrow. There certainly will not be service below 34th Street in Manhattan where there is no power. And the MTA workers are working extremely hard to get the water out of the tunnels and stations.
It is a Herculean task. Across the Hudson River in Hoboken, New Jersey, things aren't much better. Sandy flooded out much of that city, and 20,000 people are reportedly still stranded there. Some residents say they are furious with the mayor because of a lack of food and water. In fact, one guy told the Associated Press that he floated to City Hall on an air mattress so he could give her a piece of his mind.
Yeah, you know, right now, it's just that whole area right there in Hoboken is completely submerged. In fact, I saw someone that was canoeing
mm-hmm.
down Hoboken. You got to understand, this is the city, dude. This is like,
yeah.
this is not, you know, and they're going down the road, and a lot of the folks there, I mean, they're just hurting. It's completely underwater.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor's, I believe, trying to do the best that she can. Right now, you got to have as much kind of patience, but it's hard to have patience. You have no food, you have
mm-hmm.
no water. You're not prepared, so people are getting very testy at this time.
Right.
But it's a serious thing. If you're familiar with the show Cake Boss, Cake Boss is right there down
mm-hmm.
in Hoboken, and so, you know, I don't know how those folks are doing out there, but it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
and right
sure.
now, you want to exercise caution. You don't want to be in the water. There's all types of stuff. There's folks that are waiting in the water to get dog food and stuff like that. Like,
oh,
listen, you know, feed the dog something else. Don't worry about getting the dog food, but there are resources. One of the things that we want to encourage you is to band together.
Mm-hmm.
Band together. Look out for your neighbor. Look out for each other. You know, if you're not in this affected area, we can learn a lot just by looking at what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, if you don't have to be in the middle of the storm to glean some wisdom and to glean some understanding and
right.
learn and borrow mm-hmm. the experience instead of buying the experience for yourself.
Right.
But one of the things that's happening, Pat, is that there is tremendous gas. There's not enough gas going around.
Right.
Some of the refineries are underwater. I had a chance yesterday to actually interview some people that were waiting extensively for some gas. I believe I spoke to a police officer. Why don't you listen to this?
It's just a long line of traffic, a little bit of gas.
How long has this line been out here?
All day.
All day. How many hours would you say?
I've been out here for over two. It's been going on for at least 8 hours.
8 hours waiting on line for gas. Now, what would you say? I heard that all the oil refineries in Newark are underwater. Is that what's going on?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Somebody did say that they had the ports closed to any tankers. That's all I heard.
Wow. So what would you tell people in the future if something like this happens? Get gas early?
Yeah, get gas early. Get plenty of it early.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you being out here. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, buddy. It's just a long line of
So you can see there was a police officer there and just guiding traffic. And Pat, Chris, as far as you can see, people were, and this is not like, you know, interstate road. These are small towns and communities, and they're, you know, they're almost double park lanes. I mean, it was just crazy. They're just trying, you know, traffic on both sides. It was kind of wild. I had a chance to speak to a young man who's standing online and finally got some gas. Listen to what he had to say.
We went on Route 17 for almost.
No gas.
No gas. Bergenfield, no gas.
Wow.
We live in Little Ferry.
And you live in Little Ferry?
Yeah.
So you're about 15, 20 minutes away from Little Ferry.
We left at 12 o'clock in our house this afternoon, and then we got lucky on this gasoline station open.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you left at 12 o'clock this afternoon to find gas,
yeah,
and it's 4 o'clock now?
No.
And just now you're getting gas?
Yes, sir.
And you're just filling up a couple 5-gallon?
Yeah, for generator.
For the generator?
Yeah.
Wow. This is pretty tough, isn't it?
So you could see this in your whole day encompasses right now just trying to get gas and trying to get
fuel. I remember those days.
Something else. I want to keep them in your prayers and continue to pray for them, but I also want to share some information with you in terms of how you can find open gas locations. If you access Twitter, your Twitter account, you can put in hashtag and the word NJGas. You can also put in hashtag NJOpen. And what you're going to see are tweets that are related to stores and businesses that are open for food and that type of stuff, as well as gas stations that are becoming available. A hashtag is basically the number sign. If you're not familiar with Twitter, it's the number sign, and then you want to put the word NJGas, NJOpen, and that's a great resource because you're going to be able to find gases in the location. My understanding is that some of these refineries are still down, and now people are searching everywhere to try to get, you know, gas and get some things. But we do want to share with you that all these things are happening. You know, we shared on the Elijah storm. You know, God told us in advance some of these things that were going to be happening, and we want everyone to be prepared,
right?
You know, in advance,
right?
And so you know, this stuff was already spoken about. You can listen to prudent preparation. That was available prior to what has occurred, and
right. Hey, I just wanted to mention also as well, speaking of, you know, if you want to be able to help others, you can actually text Red Cross, type out the words,
yes,
to 90999, and that gives $10 to help. So you
want to
text REDCROSS, Red Cross.
Thank you for mentioning that.
And also, I believe Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's ministry, is also providing aid, which you can go to their website at samaritanspurse.org.
Also, Operation Blessing, CBN, they're heading down there too. So you can go to CBN.com and you can find that information in terms of Operation Blessing. And we know firsthand, Jody and them, and we know the great work that they've done. We've worked hand in hand with Jody and that team in New Orleans, and they do tremendous work. But you want to be prepared, you know, prudent preparation. You want to download this, share this, because you know what? This is unfortunately, based upon what's been shared and what we've shared and what God shared with us and others, that things like this will continue to happen. And so, you know, God's people should be prepared and ready if we're listening and hearing his voice. I mean, at a time like this, it's really good to be prepared. And one of the great things, Pat, is that, you know, we've listened to God. We're prepared here. We have everything that we need, and we're spending all this time trying to assist people and trying to help people get what they need instead of trying to just, you know, focusing on getting ourselves together. So we heeded the prophetic word.
That's right.
We want to share that. You want to go to VFNTV.com and listen to prudent preparation and get prepared in terms of that. But you know what? You think about, it's going to take everyone a while to get ready to rebuild and restructure everything back in South Jersey and even some places in New York. You know, my understanding as well, too, Pat, is that in Coney Island, it's in Brooklyn out there, that there's reports of looting or walking out in the middle of the day.
No.
In the middle of the day,
yeah,
Chris.
Stealing huge TV screens, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, we share this. We shared this is going to be happening, and so you just want to be prepared. I mean, this is the stuff that happens during a time like this, and these are definitely a sign of the times. I mean, you're hearing superstorm, historic, all these different things that are occurring. It has been foretold, and there's still more to come. But, you know, in the process of rebuilding and getting things back in order, one thing that we can glean from this, Pat, is there's not only a physical restructuring that's going to need to take place in homes, and bless your heart, you know, our prayers go out for the victims and all mm-hmm. the people that are suffering.
All right.
We know firsthand, you know, absolutely. What I think you and I have been out without electricity for over 10 days. So
we were out with 2 weeks, I believe.
Yeah. So we know what that's like, and mm-hmm. no shower and spending all day just to get prepared. All
right.
Wisdom on this end, listening to the voice of the Lord before, you know, mm-hmm. right now would be a very, very good thing.
Get prepared.
Absolutely. So you know that rebuilding is one thing, your physical mm-hmm. home and your place. But you know what? There's storms of life that happen to all of us. It's not just me necessarily the physical storms. Mm-hmm. There's all the storms of life that happen, and the Word of God's not silent. You know, in Matthew 7, verses of 24, it's a parable talking about the wise and foolish builders.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's interesting that he says, everyone who hears the word and puts it into practice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing is not just enough.
Right.
You know, and I believe we talked about BFN Torch, hear, and do. If you have not listened to hear, do, you've got to listen to it.
Right. Yeah. It was just on yesterday.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so beautiful and so timely. But you just don't want to be a hearer of God's word. You actually want to do what God's word says.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that oftentimes many people are just, they think that you can just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you got to do something with what you listen. You're going to be held accountable for what you know.
That's right.
So it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So if you want to be wise, you got to hear mm-hmm. what God is saying, and you want to implement and obey what he tells you to do. When you do that, you're setting yourself a right foundation for your own life.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock.
Mm.
I mean, we see firsthand as an image and as a picture, and you look at the devastation. The house is completely ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
The Jersey boardwalk is completely just torn to pieces.
Wow.
All you see are the pilings left. And the beaches in New Jersey are different than maybe in Florida and some of the other parts of the country, where, you know, in Florida I'm familiar with just sandy beaches and nothing else. But the beaches in New Jersey, they have sandy beaches as well as an entire boardwalk, almost like a fair atmosphere where there's rides and all types of stuff on, you know, on the edge of the beach. All of that, most of that there has been just totally, totally wiped away. And so storms come in life, not just physical storms, but there's storms that come in your own personal life. You know, Jesus said himself, Jesus said, in this life you'll have many troubles.
Right.
But cheer up, because I have overcome the world. And so, you know, you may not know what tomorrow holds,
mm-hmm.
but at least if you know Jesus Christ, you'll know the one that holds tomorrow. And with that should bring you great peace and great solace, because you need to know God. You need to build your own personal house on a solid rock, on a solid foundation. Let me tell you, these times are shaky. These times right now are turbulent. And let me tell you, I want to give you hope. You want to make it through the storms of life. You want to make it through all types of situations,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
attacks.
Right.
You want to build your personal house on Jesus Christ. And you do that by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. You do that by receiving him in your heart. You do that by abiding.
Right.
Okay? And so it's so important. So he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into, there it is, Pat,
practice. Mm-hmm.
Is a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. There is a difference here. The difference is hearing God's word and putting it into practice.
Right.
You know what? That's abiding.
Mm-hmm.
It's abiding. You know, storms in life are going to come. You can endure these storms. The waters may come. Things may happen. And you may suffer some loss. but you're still going to remain intact. You know what I mean? You're still going to remain together. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. Only Jesus Christ can keep you together. And it's not an idea of knowing of Jesus or about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, we've talked about this a lot. It's about having a personal relationship.
That's right.
You know, I'm sorry. All answers, you know, they say all roads lead to Rome. You know, all answers lead to Jesus. You
That's
know what
right.
I'm saying? There isn't another option. There isn't a plan B. There isn't an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Word of God says that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him.
That's right.
And so it's so important that we say, you know what? I just don't want to survive the storms of life. I just don't want to just make it through.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to have an abiding relationship with God. I want to know Him. I'm not happy or content to know about Him. And one of the ways that you can begin to put His Word into practice, you can't put God's Word into practice if you don't read God's Word.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's like, how can the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
That's right.
How can you walk with God? How can you have a relationship with God? You know, to some who may be listening today, you're saying, oh, man, amen, go on, this is so good, or this is just a confirmation, or I get this. But believe you me, there are many out there that right now just think that just having maybe an idea of Christ or just believing that He exists is enough.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you, accept Him into your life, make Him the Lord of your life, walk with Him and abide with Him, and He'll see you every step of the way. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with Him and I know that He's present, He's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, He can't reach out to me, not too far that His eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and He's got a plan for you, and He wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and He wants you to know His voice. Find out more at iabide.org. You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg, you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to get, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym, and they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month?
Yeah. I was like,
it's
man.
It's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. I'm like, this ain't working, man. You know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. And I was like, I gotta find something that I can, you know, that's going to encourage me. Well, there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today, what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now. And maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton and Chris Hamilton.
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. How are you guys doing?
Oh, doing good. Doing good.
Doing good. A lot going on, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Always. Oh, but it's all good.
You know, we're just talking in the first part of the program just about Sandy the Superstorm, some updates on what's going on. And how we can, you know, encourage those that are going through a trial right now in their life, and also how we can glean wisdom on ourselves, how we can borrow the experience and not buy the experience. You know, we're talking about on the foolish man in Matthew 7 in terms of how you build your house, your own personal house, whether you're going to build it on a solid foundation or you're going to build it on sand.
Right.
And, you know, listen, trials will come. Storms will come in your life. They will come. But whether you're going to be able to stand or make it is based on what did you build your life on. And the truth is, Pat, Chris, you know, many today are building their life on so many other things except Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You can't build your life. You can't build your house on your own, like a job. You can't build your house on you know, relationships. You can't build your house on just fun and activities and just
that's right.
You know, those things will come and go. You look at 50% of marriages ending in divorce. You look at unemployment right now. That's pretty high. You look at all different things that are occurring. It's like, you know what? It's time to reevaluate. I'm speaking to people now that are going through some serious trials in their life that they're saying, you know what? I'm going back to what matters most. It's all about Jesus right now. My priorities are in the right place. Now, I want to encourage you, you know, get them in the right place. You know, we know that right now, 19% of the church is actually, according to George Barr, is actually abiding and spending time with God. It's something that we talk about dearly because it's the only way to have a true, fulfilling relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So why eat another man's groceries? Why hear God from someone else's devotional? That was their experience with God.
That's right.
That's what God told them. But if you're a son, if you're a daughter of the King, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that inheritance is yours. The Father wants to speak to you, and you can hear Him, and not just hear what He's saying, but put into practice
exactly
what He's sharing with you. Hearing and doing are so important. Yes. So important.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you in God's news behind the news. I don't know if you saw this, guys, but this is something that has just surfaced. I'll tell you, there's something. It's amazing how sometimes you know people think that they can get away with certain things. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's all like, right. Oh, that happened so long ago. You know, man may sweep things under the rugs. But you know, God doesn't sweep anything.
That's right. He's a just God.
He is a just God. And recently in Spain, I don't know if you're aware of this, they just found out that all of these babies were being sold when they were being born. And I mean, a whole lot of them. You know, I don't have a final number for you yet, but a whole lot of them. And they were being sold, and they're finding out later, wait a second, you know, my mom, you know, this is not my natural parents. This is, you know, what happened. And so you're seeing something that happened that was very evil. At the time, the government was involved in it. It took a network of nurses, doctors, allegedly nuns and priests were involved in this in Spain.
Oh, wow.
And you look at the economic conditions that Spain is facing today. You know, its righteousness is exalted nation. God's just. I mean, they're right behind Greece in this proverbial domino, this economic collapse that's coming. You know, right now, if you look at Greece crooked, I mean, if you breathe a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where we're at. If you just blink in that direction, that domino is set to fall, and that domino begins a trigger, and Spain is like the next one in line.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what's happening here. I want you to hear this segment. I want you to just hear this. This is a report at CBN, and I want you to just talk. We're going to talk about this. It's so important because God is just.
Well, you've heard in the news about the problems of the economy of Spain. They got unemployment over there of something like 25%, and we understand among young people, the teenage population, unemployment is as high as 50%. The Spanish economy is reeling. So you don't hear about what we're going to tell you about, though. This is an incredible revelation. In Spain, more and more adults are making a shocking discovery. They're not who they thought they were. They were stolen from their real parents when they were infants and sold on the black market. It's a staggering scandal that has Spain turned or dubbed a supermarket for babies. Could you believe that? Dale Hurd has this story.
At a cemetery in Barcelona, trucks arrive for a court-ordered exhumation. All across Spain, officials are opening the coffins of dead newborn babies to see if there are any babies inside, because the Spanish have discovered that many of the coffins are empty. Spain is reeling from one of the worst crimes since World War II. It's known simply as the stolen babies. The sheer scale of it is staggering.
It is a story horrifying in its magnitude. Hundreds of thousands of Spanish babies taken from their mothers at birth and sold on the black market.
Beginning during the Franco dictatorship in 1939 and continuing until the 1990s, newborns were stolen from hospitals and trafficked by a secret network of doctors, nurses, priests, and nuns. It began as a way to take children from families considered politically dangerous to the fascist Franco regime, to re-educate them. In many cases, the attending nurse would take the newborn from the mother to have it examined or cleaned, and would return with a dead baby that was kept in a freezer at the hospital as proof that the child had died. Then a coffin would be buried that contained only rocks or perhaps a severed limb from another patient. What began as a system of political control gradually turned into a giant money-making operation. And it never came to light until a man named Juan Luis Moreno sat by his father's deathbed and was told that both he and his childhood friend Antonio Barroso were purchased.
So what you're listening to here, I mean, this is a supermarket for stolen babies. Stolen babies, Pat. You know, and this has been going on for years and started out as a political, you know, thing here to try to capture people, if you will, you know, to try to save these kids and try to re-educate them. Is like, what in the world is going on here?
Right.
And you think about this plot, you think about evilness. I mean, how evil can that be where you take something that's so precious like life,
right,
and you begin to take that away. It's just like, I mean, we talked about the shedding of innocent blood. But this is stealing a life. And it's like, what is it about the enemy, about trying to steal a life?
Right.
I want you to listen to this because this is tragic. And we're talking, I think that a lot of us are naive. You know, I'm not naive, but I think many are naive of how evil can truly be. And I'm telling you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, Ephesians talks about and says in the Word of God. And we need to be aware of what's out there. We just can't just walk around as a Christian not knowingly that there's spiritual wickedness in high places.
Right.
I want you to listen to more of this.
From a nun.
It was horrible. First to know that my father was dying, but then to learn that he wasn't my real father and that my best childhood friend was stolen just like I was.
When I was a boy, other boys at school said that my mother wasn't my real mother. I asked her and she said, "Of course you're my son." But when I did a DNA test with my mother, the probability of maternity was 0%.
Antonio started ANADIR, an association fighting for justice for the victims of this scandal.
I realized I needed to establish an association to see if the courts would pay attention, because they were ignoring us.
And as their story spread through the media, more and more Spanish women who believe their babies were stolen have started to come forward.
I am Praxi Maxia. I'm looking for my daughter born in 1982. Like the others, I saw her at birth, and I didn't see her again. They told me she had died.
I am looking for my brother, who was born in July 1971.
I believe that Spain was a supermarket for babies, for Spaniards themselves and for the rest of the world.
The Spanish have started to examine death certificates and adoption papers and have found that many have been falsified, and not very creatively. This adoption paper says the child's biological parents were Mary and Joseph. The use of Mary and Joseph was common.
The crimes were committed for money. There was no criminal organizations with a mafia boss in charge. Every hospital had its own business.
We sat down with some of the victims, women looking for their parents, a brother or a sister, or their children. All feel the government is dragging its feet.
Sometimes we feel as if they are playing with us. We want real justice and brave judges. We want the government to support us because they have the strength.
It's a black hole. We need to know where our sisters, brothers, and in the case of the mothers, where their babies, that nowadays they are not babies, they are adults.
Enrique Vila is a lawyer and author of a best-selling book about the stolen babies.
So what you're saying, I mean, this is tragic. All these people are surfacing. It's amazing what God will bring to light. And they're realizing that these babies were actually stolen. It first became this political thing. Right. And then all of a sudden now it became profitable. It's amazing what people will do for greed.
For money.
But this is the extent of evil. This is the thing we got to know about how evil really is. When you think about it, this is a hospital. Mm-hmm. With professional doctors, if you will, nurses, allegedly priests and nuns. I mean, this was a network that would literally went to the extent of taking this baby. I mean, who doesn't I've seen the toughest man, the biggest burly guy, melt in the presence of a newborn baby. You know what I mean? There's a compassion, a softness, a tenderness that I believe God just gives us for young babies and children and the preciousness and the delicate of life. And there's not too many things that I know of that brings such compassion and tenderness out of human beings. And I believe that's all given by God. And yet, in the face of that, evil, it just doesn't affect them at all. And so here they are stealing these babies, and to the extent this plot is going to, yet they're saying they're dead, they're making a coffin, they're putting either deceased limbs, they're bringing out a dead baby to the mother.
Right.
And they're willing to see someone just go through this horrific, after, can you imagine carrying a baby 9 months? They're willing to see this horrific, you know, pain and struggle and torment.
Right.
So that they could profit out of gain.
That's horrible.
It's evil. Yeah. I mean, that is evil. Not only are they ruining the lives of the mother and the father that carry, you know, the mother carried this baby for 9 months. But now they've totally changed the life. They're talking about the total insignificant or the regards of life. That you could just take a child and sell it like you would sell a car, you would sell a piece of gum, or you would sell, you know, a house. You just take it and just go. In fact, you know, I've seen people that treated their animals better than they treated humans.
Right.
And this should not be. But you know, as I was thinking about this and just looking at how evil all of this, you know, Satan's just evil. He hates our guts. And when you think about what happened to the Jews,
right?
You know, really, when you think about what happened in the Holocaust, when you think about the tragedy that occurred there, why am I saying this? You know, because there, let me tell you something, the devil hates Jews and Christians.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, this is just that. So you, as a Christian, and if you're Jewish, but you can't underestimate the fact that radical Islam, there's forces out there that hate your guts.
That's right.
Because you're God. Mm-hmm. You know? And so you can't walk into this naive, but you think of the Holocaust. And I love, you know, with the Jewish people, they have perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, we will never forget.
That's all right.
We will never forget. 6 million Jews killed. Mm. Now, I mean, history has told us that, you know, Hitler was the one who killed the Jews. And indeed, he undeniably, we know that Hitler was, you know, the head person here.
Right.
But did Hitler kill all of them by himself? I mean, it was his order. It directly came from him, which really came from Satan. But were there other people involved? And the Nazis were involved, right?
Yeah.
People had to carry this thing out.
Right.
But not only that, but the German citizens. There's a book that was written called Hitler's Beneficiaries. And it was written by a gentleman by the name of Goltz Alley, G-O-L-T-Z Alley. And he wrote this book called Hitler's Beneficiaries, and I just was able to read a sample, a small bit of it. But what I read was so powerful. Because you think about how did this get done? How did this happen? And he writes in his books that this book was conceived as an attempt at redressing the balance and redirecting public attention toward the potential advantages everyday Germans derived from the Nazi regime.
Mm-hmm.
And in so doing, it uncovered a missing link that was better able than previous historical arguments to explain the widespread and always temporary satisfaction most Germans felt with their government during the Third Reich, precisely because so many Germans did in fact benefit from Nazi Germany's campaigns of plunder, and only marginal resistance arose. I mean, they were in on this.
Right.
They were in on this,
mm-hmm.
because they were able to receive all of these goods. And what he goes on to say is that when all the Jews' properties were being confiscated, all their money and their gold was just being stolen from them, one of the ways that Hitler was able to control them, the Germans, was to be able to give them stuff and things, mm-hmm. just providing, you know, all of their needs.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, here's a brand new table. Here's an antique this. It's like, oh, here's a flat screen television. We didn't have flat screen at that time. But, you know, here are all these things. Here's all your fleshly desires. And by the way, those Jews are evil people.
Mm-hmm.
Those Christians are evil people.
Right.
How quick does it take a person that's just flesh-driven and out for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says in the last days that the love of many will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about those in the church. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a loveless world?
Mm.
I mean, think about this. This is how evil continues to go on, that they're willing to sell out of people for stuff. And they ignored them while Jews were being put in an oven.
Mm.
So you can't underestimate, what a people will do. I often hear that people say, well, you know, the good citizens or our good people of this country and our good bound together. Let me tell you something. There's nobody good. Right, Jesus said that God the Father is good. He goes on to say, later on in the book, says that the Nazis established a framework for directing and sharing The Nazi leadership established a framework for directly sharing the spoils of its military victories with the majority of Germans. They had this all organized. The profits derived from crippling economies of occupied and dependent countries, the exploitation of work performed by forced laborers, the confiscated property of murdered Jews, and the deliberate starvation of millions of people. I mean, this is horrible. And the benefits in turn made the recipients amenable to Nazi propaganda and gave them a vested interest in the Third Reich. So it's like, hey, you know, they turn the blind eye. As long as you give me what I want, as long as you give, you know, feeding my flesh, you know, and they sold out. They sold out to the work of the devil. They sold out to murderous plots. They sold out to killing of people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. We have to stay in a place where we're abiding with God. We got to stay a place to know that evil does exist. We have to know how to pray. We have to be able to stand together.
That's right.
And we get to tell the truth. We got to eradicate every force of evil that'll try to come against Jews, that'll try to come against Christians.
Mm-hmm.
For serving God, it's like, come on, it's radical Islam. No one, they hate your guts. It's an anti-Christ religion.
That's right.
Why? Because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, they get inflamed when you even the mere mention of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they're willing to take those out. I mean, we've seen it, you know, repeatedly.
Right.
And you hear you have, you know, the Iranian president saying the Holocaust never existed.
Right.
You have the Iranian president saying that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so evil does exist. Somebody once said that all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing.
Do nothing, yeah.
I'm going to say that again. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Well, we know as Christians that none of us is good, right?
Right. I mean, none of us.
Have you
well, except for Chris.
Well, yeah, maybe Chris. Maybe Chris. You know, but he's silent. Look at that. He's like, yep.
He's agreement, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yep. Ah, very good. Okay. Ooh, Chris,
we all know he did smoke his Bible. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, I can't say nothing to that one.
How quickly we forget. But think about it. We know as Christians that none of us are good. But if there's any good in us, it's the goodness of Jesus Christ shining through us. So we know this. So maybe we should rephrase that statement. We should say, you know, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for Christians that know God to do nothing with the truth that they know.
Right.
I mean, think about it. We've been so blessed, especially in this country, in America, as believers. We have the opportunity. I mean, we don't just have one Bible. You can have up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 Bibles. You have them on digital devices. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Word of God is everywhere, and it's available to you. And it's time. It's time to be able to exercise the truth in God's Word. It's time for us to rise up and say, you know what? We're going to stand together in a spiritual army. We're going to pray. We're going to love.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna love each other, and we're going to love the Jewish people. Isaiah 59:19 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Think about it. It's not about the flow. When the enemy comes, God raises a standard. Who's that standard? That standard is me, you. And the body of Christ, if you're a believer, you're the standard that's being raised up to come against the forces of darkness.
That's right.
Listen, if they're willing to steal babies from them and they don't care, if they're willing and the enemy's willing to touch a person, to kill people and to steal their stuff, if they're willing to close their eyes
mm-hmm.
while people are being burned up, while they're seeing the smoke of burnt flesh
that
they could... What do you think they're going to do to believers, those that love God and to Christians? Right. Let me tell you something. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Listen, we're mighty in God. We're mighty in God. I want to encourage you to stand with other believers. I want to encourage you to abide and spend time with the Lord. I want to encourage you to stand with Israel and remember that God is victorious over anything the enemy could ever do.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.